Begin the new Masechet Avodah Zarah, which talks about the topic that the title is regarding idol worship. And with that, we begin the first Perek Lefnei Yedehen, which opens up Daf Beis, which talks about related to the holidays of the idol regarding forbidden relationships that there are because of the implications that will have for the idol worshiper and his idol. As the Mishnah begins, before the holiday of the idol worshippers, for a period of 3 days, it's forbidden to have business dealings with them. And the reason for all of these cases that the Mishnah is going to describe is because we're concerned that the idol worshipper will go and give thanks and admissions to his idol on his holiday for what he has done for him in his success with his business and all these other cases that we're going to describe. So therefore, we're not allowed to do that with them because we're then increasing the service of the idol worshipper to his idol. So therefore, it's forbidden to do business dealings with them, lashilon, to lend something to them, velishal mehen, or to borrow from them, lahalvoisin, to lend to them, velilvis mehen, or to borrow from them, where the terminology she'ela is something that's extant, that's there. For example, when you borrow a behema or a kalim, as the pasuk says in Shemais Chabez, ki yishal ish memre'eyu, is talking about an object. In contrast, when we say halva, borrowing, that's a loan, that's something that's not given back as is, like for example, money. Like the pasuk says, "Kesef talves ami," we see by money, which a milva is leitzan. In other words, the money is meant to be spent, and then you pay back other monies. So, but the same idea, you're borrowing or lending, whether an object or money. It's also forbidden lepayron to pay them back ulefraya mehen, or to collect from them. Rabbi Huda, he disagrees in the last one. He says, no, Nefraim, and you could collect from them in this 3-day period before their holiday. To the contrary, it hurts him, it pinches him. He has to pay back a debt. That's not something he's going to give thanks to his God for. So that's what they said to him. No, even though it pinches him right now, hurts, a little bit later, he feels joyous about that, and they will go give thanks to his deity, and therefore, it's forbidden even to collect from him. And all these things are forbidden before the holidays of the idol worshippers for a period of 3 days. Now, the Gemara brings a machlek is regarding the gears to the text of our Mishnah. When it says lefnei edehen, which that's not really the word, it doesn't use the word chag, but it refers to the holiday of the idol worshipper, but it's in a derogatory fashion. What is the word? Zmachlik is Rav and Shmuel, Chad Tani Edehen, like we have it in our Mishnah, with an Aleph. V'chad Tani Edehen, the other one learned it with an Ayin. Now, the Gemara explains, Manditani Edehen Lemishtabish, the one who learns it with an Aleph didn't make a mistake. Manditani Edehen Lemishtabish, the one who learns it with an Ayin also didn't make a mistake. They both are correct words that could be utilized to define the holiday of the idol in a derogatory fashion. That's the Gemara explains. Manditani Edehen Lemishtabish, the one who learns it with an Aleph didn't make a mistake. The Chselik says the Pasuk in the Devarim. It says, Kikar of Yoim Edom, because the day of the destruction is coming near. And that pasuk, the context is talking about avodas kochavim. Like it says over there, yukumu v'yazrachem, let your God, let your deities, your avodas zarah get up and help you. And it's saying because the day of their destruction is coming near. So we see that a designated day for the avodas zarah is called Eid, obviously in a destructive way, but that's the terminology that we would use for the holidays of avodas kochavim with an aleph. So to mandatoni a day in lemishtabish, the one who learns it with an ayin also didn't make a mistake. The chiluk says the pasuk in Yeshaya says yitnu a dayhim, let them give their testimony, where that's the word aid with an ayin is testimony, v'yitztaku, and then to make them righteous. Now the assumption right now in the Gemara is interpreting this pasuk regarding avodah zarah, where it's wondering, like let the those who serve avodah zarah, let the avodah zarah go ahead and be their, give testimony. In other words, let the avodas kochavim itself that they served come and testify for them and make them righteous. Where that's what the pasuk is saying, you know, as if. But you see that edehem refers to the avodas zarah, and therefore we could use that as the word in our Mishnah referring to their holiday. That's what the Gemara asked. The mother toni edehem, the one who learns it with an aleph, my time aloy toni edehem, why didn't they learn it with an ayin? Some lachi would tell you, because tavra adif. The pasuk that we bring for avodah zarah with an aleph refers to destruction, to breaking. That's a better way of, in a derogatory fashion, of referring to the holiday of the avodah zarah. So the Gemara says, "Man d'toni edein." So the one who learns it with an ayin, my time aloy toni edein. Why doesn't it learn it the one with an aleph? Amlach, he would tell you, "Man kagarm luhutav." What causes their destruction? Edus shehi idu ba'atzman, and this changes the definition of the pasuk a little bit. where it's the testimony that they testify regarding themselves on the day of judgment, when they come and they testify that in this world they serve the Avodah Zarah, that's what ultimately causes them to be destroyed. Hilkach Eidus Adifa. So that testimony of the Avodah Zarah is the causation of the destruction. Therefore, that's more primary, and if we'd rather say Lefnei Eidein with an Ayin, which is the testimony that they testify regarding themselves, than to use it with the Aleph. Now the Gemara, however, asks, the Gemara says, regarding that we said, if you say Eidein with an Ayin, so we brought a pasuk that says, because they're going to let them give their testimony and make them righteous, ask the Gemara, is that really talking about by Avodah Zarah, which we said that is that they testify falsely, they say testimony regarding themselves, and that's what caused ultimately their destruction? But actually that pasuk is actually talking about the Jewish people. Because the Amr B'Shem Alevi, like B'Shem Alevi said, Kal mitzvah she'Yisrael oisin ba'il mazeh, all the mitzvahs that a Jewish person does in this world, ba'isu me'idus lem lo'il mabo, comes in the world to come and testifies regarding that this person did that mitzvah. Shneim like says in the pasuk, Yitnu eidehim v'yitztaku, they're going to give their testimony and make the person righteous, which is the mitzvahs of a Jewish person. Elu Yisrael, that refers to the Jewish people. Now when the pasuk says over the Yishmu v'yomru emes, they're going to hear and they're going to say it's true. That refers to the idol worshippers, where the idol worshippers will hear the testimony regarding the mitzvahs that are testifying what the Jewish people did, and the non-Jews, the idol worshippers, will say that's a true judgment because the Jewish people are fit to be considered righteous. So one thing is, you can't say Eidehim with an ayin because of that pasuk, because actually it's not referring to either the Avodah Zarah or the idol worshipper himself saying testimony regarding what he has done to make himself righteous, because that's talking about the Yisrael. So Elam Rav Huna B'Ridi B'Shua, he says, Manda Ame Eidehen, the one who has the girsa with an ayin, it's actually from Mehacha, from a different pasuk in Yeshaya. It says, Yetzri Pesel, those who form graven images, Kulam Tohu, they're all emptiness. V'chamudein Bal Yo'ilu, and this that all their desires doesn't help them. Moreover, Ve'ideim Hema, to the contrary, the Avodah Zarah itself will come and testify regarding those who served it to incriminate them and hold them liable for the Avodah Zarah that they did in this world. So you see that Eidehem refers to the Avodah Zarah, and that explains the two Gersois in our Mishnah, either Eidehem with an Aleph or Eidehem with an Ayin. Now once we brought in this Pasuk, the Gemara expounds this Pasuk at length regarding the following narrative. Darish Reb Chanina Bar Papa, on this Pasuk in Yeshai that we brought, Vitem Reb Simloi, some say it was Reb Simloi, as follows. La'asa Lavai, in the future that will come, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu save a Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring a Torah scroll. U'menicha b'cheikov amel, put it in his bosom, on his chest, and he's going to say as follows. L'misha asikba, whoever toiled in this, referring to the Torah, yav avitel schar, let him come and take his reward. Miyad miskabtsin neboin ebd gechum barvuvi. Then all the idol worshippers that come tumultuous in one big multitude of mixed up groupings, meaning, and not with each nation by itself, and they all come running to Hashem to get their reward. Shlomak, it says over there in that pasuk, it says kalagoyim nikbetsu yachta v'goymer, that all the nations gathered together, meaning all one big glob. So Amalam Kadosh Baruch Hu, the first Kadosh Baruch Hu tells them, al tekantu lefane barvuvi, don't come in front of me in one big mixed up group. Al tekanes kal uma v'uma, rather let each nation gather together as we continue to in Beis v'seifreha with its sages. Shlomak, it says in the pasuk over there v'yasvul umim, that they should gather as le'umim. What does that mean? Ve'en lo'um ela malchus. The word le'um refers to each kingdom by itself. How do we know that? Shalom, like this is a pasuk in Bereishis. U'lo'im me'lo'im yem. It's referring to Yaakov and Esav, where the Targum translates, what's le'oim me'lo'im? U'malchu mi'malchus. We see the word le'oim refers to each kingdom. Moreover, the word yematz is only possible by a kingdom, which is that of sovereignty. So we see that each nation had to come. Hashem said, don't come all one multitude, come each nation individually. Now, regarding the element that he had to say for Torah, that's learned out from the end of the pasuk, as Gemara is going to say later on, from Mibachem Yagad Zayis, who can say regarding this that I'm holding, that he has fulfilled the dictates of this Torah, and then he'll get the reward. Now, first, the Gemara asks, however, regarding this last part of the narrative, U'mika Arvuva Kamei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is there really a mix-up, is there multitudes in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? But as the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Yud Ches Siman Aleph, Hashem sees everything with one, so to speak, look. He sees every individual by himself. Like it says, Hayitza Yachal Libam. He's able to see everything together and see each one individually. So what's Hashem saying? Don't come all birvuvi, as if Hashem cannot go ahead and deal with each one individually in that situation. So El Rebbe says the Gemara, no, for Hashem himself, of course, it doesn't make a difference if everyone comes Berevuvia. But rather, it's Kihecha de la Revivu in who Bahadi Adadi. It's that they, the nation, don't get confused and mixed up with their claims because of all the multitudes around them. Delishmu Maida Amalahu, that they should be able to hear what Hashem is telling them. It's for them, not for Hashem. So the narrative continues. Miyad nichnasu lefan of Malchus Rei Mitchila. So first comes in front of Hashem, the kingdom of Rome. Comes in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the final judgment. My time, why does Rome come in first? Mishum Nechashiva, because it's the most distinguished. Umanon Nechashiva, how do we know it's the most distinguished? That's still like it says the pasuk in Daniel. V'tachul kol ara, referring to the four different nations that rule over the history of time. And this one is the fourth one, and they're all symbolized in different types of animals. And this one, as we'll see, referring to Rome, is that it eats up the whole land, because as Rome conquered part of civilization, the basically entire world. Usudishina, and it threshed v'toydikina, and it pulverized, meaning it conquered the entire world. And Amr B'Yichin says, Zu Roy Michayevis, this refers to the wicked Rome. Shetiva Yatzbach Aloylam, that its name, its nature, its civilization spread throughout the entire world. Now says the Gemara, more of a Menolan demand the Chosh of Ayel Bereish. How do we know that the most distinguished one comes in first for judgment? Kedrav Chizda. Dam Rav Chizda, he said, Melech Vitzibur, when there's a king and the public to be judged, Melech Nichnas Tchil Ledin, the king goes in first to be judged. Shalem, like it says, the Pasim Lachem Aleph, Lasas Mishpat Abdi, to do the judgment of his servant, refers to Shleim HaMelech, O Mishpat Am Yisrael Begum, and then it says regarding the judgment of his nation, the Jewish people. Now, but time, what's the reason? Why is the more distinguished one goes first? Either because it's not appropriate to have the king wait on the outside while the people are getting judged, so therefore the king goes first. If you want, you could say, make the lefesh charei naf, so that it shouldn't be that the anger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu should keep on growing and growing because of the, he's going through all the people and he sees all the sins of the people. Maybe he's going to go ahead and, God forsake, take the total punishment from the king for the anger that he has. So first, you know, before the anger starts building because of all the sins, first let the king go, let him go out, and then deal with the people so that he doesn't get the full fury and wrath of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, the Mochasha one goes first, like we see by the Melech, and therefore Rome went first. So I want to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu says to them, and this is for the future, but Maya Saktim, what did you do? What did you do in my world that I created and had you as part of the one of the most important players? So I'm the fun of it, say in front of Hashem. Rabbi Nishalom, master of the world, Harbor Shvakim Tiknina, we made many marketplaces, Harbor Mechad Saisasin, we made many bathhouses, Harbor Kesav Azav, we increased much gold and silver in this world, which those were the works and elements of Rome. And Vakulum Layasin, and all this that we did was Elabish Vilisolim for the Jewish people. Kadishis Askabatar, so that they could toil in Torah, so that they have an opportunity and the ability to learn. Where they find business to do easily in the marketplaces, they find food and all their needs necessarily without going through all the effort, and they also be able to delight themselves in the bathhouses. So Amal Makadosh Baruch Hu, Makadosh Baruch Hu says to them, Shaitim Shaba'ilim, fools in the world, not liars, you're true, that is actually, you did everything with the Jewish people, you're a fool because that wasn't your intention. All that you did, you did it just for your own purposes. The reason why you made marketplaces was to have harlots. The reason why you made bathhouses was so you could delight yourselves. And this that you said that you increased kesev zav, gold and silver, says Hashem shalihu, that's mine. You didn't increase it. Shemak says a pasuk in Chagai, liha kesev, liha zav, no Hashem tzavakas. To me is the gold, to me is the silver, says Hashem, the Lord of hosts, which is Hashem says, I have the opportunity. I'm the one who decides who gets money, who is. That wasn't something that you did. So Hashem continues, is klum yesh b'chem magad zayis? This is the idea that we said that the narrative has Hashem holding the Sefer Torah. Is there any one of you that was teaching, was saying these things? Shenem, like it says, a pasuk over in Yeshaya, and that pasuk it says, "Mi bechem yagad zayis." Who from you said this? Now, what's zayis? Vein zayis el Torah. When it says this, it refers to the Torah. Shenem, like it says, a pasuk in Devarim, "Vezayis ha Torah shasam Moshe." That this is the Torah which Moshe Rabbeinu placed. So, and they couldn't say yes because they didn't disseminate the principles of the Torah. Miyad yatzim pachan nefesh. So they went out in desperation, in despair from the situation. So Yatzis Malchus Raimi, so the kingdom of Rome leaves. V'nichnas Malchus Prasachara, and then comes the Persian kingdom. My time, what's the reason? Dachashiva Basra, the next most distinguished is Persian. Manalan, how do we know that? The Chassidim, because like the Pasuk says in Daniel, in that prophetic vision of the four different types of kingdoms, it says, Varu, and behold, Cheva Achari, a different animal, Damula Daif, which is comparable to a beer. Now, the Tanya of Yosef, and as Tosfos points out, that the beer is from the most ferocious, and therefore that was the second after Rome, that Rav Yosef taught in the Braisa, Ila Persian, this refers to the Persians. Why? Why are they compared to beers? Because they eat and they drink like beers, and they're covered like a cloak, I mean they're very fatty of flesh like a beer. They grow here like a beer. And they don't have any rest like a beer. Rather, the beer goes back and forth all the time. They're restless. That's how the Persians are. So I'm going to Kadosh said to them, "Bemaya saktim. What did you involve yourself in this world that I made throughout this all this history of time?" So I'm lefonim sin in front of him. Rabbanu Shlom asked the world, "Harba gesharim gesharim. We made many bridges. Harba karachim kevashim. We conquered many cities. Harba mochamas asin. We made many wars. For kulam lo yisinu el b'shvil yisrael kadesh yisaski v'tarin. All that we did, we only did it for the Jewish people so that they could toil and learn the Torah." So Kadosh Baruch Hu said to them, "Kol ashtis chasisim, all that you did, letzarech atzmachem asisim, you did it for yourselves. Tekamtem gesharim, you made bridges, litel mehem meches, so that you could collect taxes from them. Karachim, you conquered these cities, las mehem angaria, so that you could conscript for the service of the king for on all the cities that you conquered, that they should have to fight your wars, and that you could take their animals to service you. And this that you did mechamas wars." Hashem says, "You didn't do that. Ani asisi, I do that." Hashem says, "A pasuk in Shemais, Hashem is Mocham. Hashem is the man of war." So Hashem continues, "Says Klum Yesh Bechem Magidzais. Is there any one of you that was speaking about this, referring to the Sefer Torah that he's holding?" Shlomo HaMelech says in the pasuk, "Mi Bechem Yagidzais. Any one of you was speaking about this?" And like we said, "Veinzai Se LaTaira. This refers to Torah. Shlomo Vezais HaTaira Shem Moshe." And they couldn't say yes. So they left also, and this is in the future, in despair. Now the Gemara wonders, once the Persian kingdom already saw by the Roman kingdom that all their claims didn't help anything, so my time, Ayla, why do they even go in? Why do they even think that they're going to go ahead and get reward for the dictates of the Torah when they knew that they're not going to be any better? Amri, they said, no, inu sasi beis hamikdash. The Romans destroyed the beis hamikdash. Banan beninan, we built the beis hamikdash. The second beis hamikdash, Kairish, who is the malach of Paras, he built it. And says the Gemara, v'chein l'chalom avom, and the same thing happened with every single nation. They all come in front of Hashem and says, yeah, we did this and everything with the Jewish people. And Hashem says, wow, you guys did it for yourself. You didn't do anything for the Jewish people. Now, ask the Gemara, v'chein ma'achad, d'chaz l'kamoy, d'lam hanab l'imidi. Every single nation, once they saw the nation before them that it didn't help, my tama aili. Why did they go in? Says Gemara Sarvi, they thought, Hanach ishtabdibu bi Yisrael. Them, meaning the ones that we mentioned, let's say the Persians and the Romans, they enslaved the Jewish people. The Persians enslaved the Jewish people by Gullus Bavel. Titus exiled them to Rome, and they still enslaved the Jewish people. But Manan lishtabdibu bi Yisrael, we didn't enslave the Jewish people. And therefore each nation thinks that, yeah, we could get reward for what we did for Hashem's world. Now, the Gemara wonders, Maishna Hani de Chashivi. Why is it that only Rome and Persia is mentioned specifically in this narrative? Well, Maishna Hani de Chashivi, why aren't all the other nations of the world mentioned in this narrative? It says the Gemara, Mishim de Hanach, Mashchi ba Machusayu ad Osi Meshicha, because those two kingdoms of Rome and Persia will continue up until when Mashiach comes. And therefore, we mention them by name. Now, but all the nations go and they all fail, and Hashem says, no, you did it for yourself, you did it for yourself, you didn't do it for the Jewish people, you don't deserve the reward of the Torah. So then I'm in the fun of the nations say in front of Hashem, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, the world. Klum nesatu lono v'lo kiblenua. Did you even give us the Torah that we didn't accept it? Why are we being punished for not having fulfilled it? Ask the Gemara, mi matzi l'me ma'achi, how could the nations really say that? But v'ksiv, the pasuk says, in the Devarim, v'yayimer, and he says, Hashem is Sinai ba. Hashem came from Sinai. V'zarech miseir lama, and he came and he appeared from Seir, where v'ksiv, like the pasuk says also in Chavakuk, Eloi ha-miteman yavai v'goymer, that God came from the south. So says the Gemara, my boy b'Seir, what's Hashem doing in Seir? Or my boy b'Paran, what's he doing in Paran, which was the land of the Ishmaelim, like it says by Hagar, that she was in Midbar Paran. What's Hashem doing all these places in the south, in Seir, in Paran? This is Malamet Shechzira Kodesh Baruch Hu, called Umma V'Loshen. And this is all in context that it says that Misinai ba, that he came from Sinai, but it sounds like before Sinai he was by all these other places, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu went around to all the nations and all the languages to receive the Torah, but they kibbutz and they didn't accept it. It's Yisrael who kibbutz until they came to the Jewish people and they accepted it. So how could the nation say, Hashem, did you give it to us? They wouldn't accept it. What do you mean? We see that Hashem went to all the nations. So Ella rather says the Gemara Nahochi, I mean, this is what the nations say. Klum kibla nuha v'leikem nuha. Did we accept it that we should be blamed that we didn't fulfill it? The reason why we didn't fulfill it because we didn't accept it. So on that, asks the Gemara, what do you mean? Val do tavrasayin. What do you mean? That itself is a challenge. That itself is going to incriminate them. Amayla kablasu. Why didn't they accept it? Ella rather says the Gemara, no kach ayim lefanim. This is what they say in front of Hashem. Rabbi Nishal, master of the world. Klum kafisa leino harka gigas v'leikab lenua. Did you turn a barrel, a mountain over our head like a barrel, and that we still didn't accept it? Kamesha sisali so like you did to the Jewish people? You forced them, that's why they did it. You didn't force us. We would have accepted us if we were forced into it. So why are we getting shortchanged? So like it says the Pasuk in Shemai, so Yisyatza B'tach Sa'ar, it says that the Jewish people were by Har Sinai, when they received the Torah, that they were encamped at the bottom of the mountain. But the word tachtis doesn't really sound like the bottom, it sounds like beneath the mountain. V'amr Avdimi Bar Chami says, Malamet Shakov HaKadosh Baruch Hu Har Kegigis Al Yisrael. This teaches that Hashem Yisbaruch uprooted the mountain, and he covered the Jewish people from the mountain over them, like the way a barrel would be over a person's head. V'amr Lehem, and he said to the Jewish people, Im Atem Akam Masat Torah Mutem. If you accept the Torah, then it's going to be good. V'amlav, if not, Sham Teik V'raschem, then that's where you're going to be buried. So there was a valid claim that Hashem says, Hashem, you forced them. You didn't force us. We would have got it, and then we would have done the Torah too. So Miyad Omer L'Makadosh Baruch Hu, so immediately HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to them, and he says, Harishaynis Yashmi'unu. So then the earlier ones will teach us. What does that mean? Like it says over there in that Pasuk in Yeshaya that we're expounding, Harishaynis Yashmi'enu, that the earlier ones will let us know, meaning, you're saying, if I would have forced you, you would have taken all the 613 mitzvahs, etc., and then you would have fulfilled it. So says Hashem to them, Sheven mitzvah shekibaltim. So let's go back. The seven mitzvahs that you did accept, what's called the seven Noahide laws that all of humanity accepted from Noah, who was the first person that survived and continued the world. Hechen kiyamtim. How did you fulfill that? As the Gemara explains, how do we know that the non-Jews did not fulfill the Sheven mitzvah b'nei Noach? They turned Rav Yisrael, like Rav Yisrael told in the Braisa. Pasuk Chavakuk says, Omad v'yemoided arts. He stood up and he measured the land. Ra, Hashem saw, v'yater goyim, and he spread out the nations, where meaning that it appeared appropriate to him, meaning Ra, he saw that it's appropriate to be v'yater. Says the Gemara, Ra, what did he see? Ra, zayim mitzvah shekiblo aleim b'nei Noach, he saw the seven Noahid laws that the b'nei Noach accepted, v'loi kaimim, they didn't fulfill even that. So kibin shalei kaimim, since he saw that they weren't fulfilling it, amad v'tirin lehen, he permitted them, he says, okay, you don't even have to do these seven laws. So don't go tell me that if I would have forced you to do the Tarek Mitzvahs, you would have done the whole Torah, then you would have gotten reward, so you want to get reward anyway. Even the seven Mitzvahs that you did accept, you didn't do. And as we find the drasha, Beyat HaGayim, he says, even those seven you don't have to do. Now that is the Gemara, Iskuri Isker, what they gained from that? Because they didn't do it, so Hashem says you don't have to keep it. Imkim etzin nechayten isker. So we find that a sinner gaining, and that's always a principle that we say that's not logical. Why would they not have to keep the seven Mitzvahs? Because they weren't doing it. So rather, Amma Mabri Javini says, as we continue to have a Gimel and Aleph, Loimer to say, no. Sha'ava pisha mekayim enoy. So no, of course they have to keep it. But it's coming to teach us that even if they do fulfill it, im mekam leim schar. They don't get reward for it. So this hatara, this permissibility, is not for their benefit. Rather, it's just saying that they're not considered as if they commanded to fulfill it. So therefore, even if they fulfill it, they're not going to get any reward. Ask the Gimel of Eloi, they don't get reward if they keep the Shev Mitzvah Bnei Noach. But Vitanul in the Braisa, he says, Minayan Shafila Ovid Kechavim. Where do we know that even the idol worshipper, Vaisik Matar, and he toils in Torah, Shahukagan Gadol, that is like a Kohen Gadol, like a high priest, Tamalim, the Pasuk says, Meikra, Ashayasa Isa Ha'adam Chaibam, that if a person will do them, meaning the mitzvahs, and he'll live by them. So the word that it says is, Yasa Isam Ha'adam. Kahanim Levim Yisraelim Leinim. It doesn't say, Kahanim Levim Yisraelim, Jewish people. El Ha'adam, the man. Halamata teaches any man, any homo sapien. Shafil Avik Kacham Maisim Batari, even a non-Jew that dwells in Torah. Harei Kakan Gadol is like a Kakan Gadol. As long as it's relating to the mitzvahs that he has to fulfill, which is Shev Mitzvah Bnei Nech. So we see that he does get reward. Ella, rather, the Gemara qualifies again. Loim Lecha, to tell you, it means She'im Akam Malei Mischar Kim Mitzvah V'Aisa. They're not going to get the reward, like someone who's commanded to do something and does it. Ella, Kamisha Einim Mitzvah V'Aisa. Yes, he has to do it, and he'll get reward. But like someone who's not commanded, and does it anyway. But not that he's going to get as if the reward as something that's commanded and does it. Because the Amr B'chanin, he says, God l'hametzuvah eisa, greater is the one who's commanded and does it, yeisa me hasha'enu mitzuvah eisa, more than the one that's not commanded and does it. As we know, it's much harder for someone to do something that he has to do and does it, than something you don't have to, and then you willingly do it of your own volition. So if it's greater mitzuvah eisa, that's something that the non-Jews lost regarding the Shem mitzvah b'nei noach, because they weren't fulfilling even the Shem mitzvah b'nei noach. So therefore says Hashem to them, don't tell me, had I forced you to keep the whole Torah, you would have done it, when even the seven mitzvahs that you did accept, even that you're negligent in. So that's what the Gemara continues in the next daf, continue the narrative, so they try to come up with another excuse to say why they are deserving of getting the reward of the Torah.